Well, let's get started. I guess today I'm probably going to have to sit, which for somebody that got ADD is real hard to do, because I like pacing. Sitting in one spot's never been my strong suit. But let's start with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for this beautiful morning, Lord. Father, we thank you for the sun. We thank you for the blue sky. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can gather together here and read from your word and just share your word with one another. Lord, as we get ready to minister, we just ask that you would just send your Holy Spirit and just let us get something out of your word that we need to learn. Father, when we listen, there's always something that applies to us, whether we wanted to or not. Lord, I ask that you let us take that with us when we leave and that we go away knowing more than we did when we came here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read today out of the book of Jude in the New Testament. And I speak on this subject periodically because I feel it's very, very important. Is this too loud for anybody back there? Okay. But like I said, I speak on this frequently because I feel it's very important. But the Bible does a lot better job explaining it than I do a lot of times, so we're going to read a little bit of it. It starts in Jude 1:1. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. So that's basically an introduction. It's a letter that Jude wrote, and he's talking to Christians. So we'll go on from there and see what he's got to say. We'll get right into the subject. It says, Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. In other words, he says, hey, I want to talk about our salvation, but there's something really important I got to tell you guys about. That's what he's basically saying. He says, for certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They're godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Basically what he's doing, he says, hey, you know, you guys are all doing good. You know, a whole bunch of you are saved. But you got a few intruders here that snuck in that are telling you stuff that you ought to not be listening to. And in this day of technology with television, radio, heck, now we got satellite radio and all this stuff. You know, you can just about go through the dial and you can find what you call a Christian broadcast everywhere. But whether they're truly Christian or not sometimes leaves something, you know, you kind of wonder about that. And that's basically what he's talking about right here. He says, man, there's men that slipped in amongst you that claim to be Christians that aren't really Christians. And they can lead you all over the place. And if you're not careful, you'll never know what's going on. And I want to go on and just keep reading from what he said. He says, you know, though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And what he's talking about, when he led the Israelites out of Egypt, you know, they went through the desert for 40 years before they got to the promised land, and a whole bunch of them went astray while they were out in the desert, and you know, God took them out. And he says, you know, you're ruining my people, and I'm not going to let this happen, so I'm just going to take you out. And he goes on, he says, you know, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. He's talking about when the devil and one third of the angels rebelled in heaven. He didn't put up with it. He kicked them out. You know, because it's like, you know, If they talk about, you know, the leaven that spoils the whole loaf, you know, it only takes one or two to mess it up for everybody else, because the people you listen to will influence you. You know, he uses another example. It says, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. And you're probably going, well, heck, why are you telling me all this? You're talking about leaders that mislead us there a minute ago. You know, that's where it started. And how does this fit in with that? Well, how it fits in, you know how you always hear, you know, ignorance is no excuse for the law. Well, that's kind of how Christianity is, too. You got to know what Jesus wants, and you got to live that. And if you listen to the wrong people and they lead you astray and get you clear out there in the left field and all that, now they'll be punished for doing that. And I would hate to be in the shoes of somebody that does that. But you're still responsible for yourself. So that's why I believe that's why they put these examples in there. You know, here's people that were punished for something that they didn't. A lot of them, you know, I'm sure there's some people that, you know, they were just like, well, I didn't know. You see that all the time. So it is really important that we pay attention. So let me read on some more. And basically, you know, there's consequences for bad decisions. We got to make sure that we pay attention. So let's go on. See, Jude 1:12. It goes back to talking about these so-called preachers and stuff. These men are blemishes at your love feast, eating with you without the slightest qualms, shepherds who feed only themselves. You know, and I will never sit here and name people by name as to who I think is a good preacher and who's not a good preacher. That's not my job. But if you read the Bible and if you study the Word at all, you know, when we become believers, when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us. Once the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us, He helps us to get through life. So when we read the Bible and know what the Bible says, when we start listening and somebody is way out there in left field and like he is where he ought to not be, the Holy Spirit will raise these little red flags up. And it will actually let you know that you're listening to something that you ought to not be listening to. But you got to know the Word to be able to have something to compare it to. And that's why it's so important that you read your Bible. Because once you read your Bible, and you can, you know, when somebody starts talking about, well, I don't even know what to use for an example, but when they get way out there on some of their stuff, you know, send me $1,000 and you will be healed, you know, or some of that crazy stuff. You know, you can say, well, wait a minute. The way I read my Bible, that don't ring true. I mean, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit says, that doesn't ring true. Then you know to turn away from that and go listen to somebody else. You know, it always starts, no matter what, be it a whole group of people that goes the wrong direction or be it just a couple of individuals. But there's always a leader. Heck, you can take your kids, go out to do something. You always got the ringleader. You know, you always got the one guy that kind of sets the tone and everybody else follows. And this is the same kind of deal. You know, you can be just doing really good and you hook up with the wrong church and you start going there, and next thing you know, you find yourself out in left field. So you're like, well, that's kind of scary. No, heck, you know, I'm not a scholar, and you know, I read my Bible and I do the best that I can do, but from what, you know, what I'm telling you there, you know, it'd be real easy to get scared. So let's see what the Bible says about that. In Jude 1:20, and I'm skipping over some verses as always because we just don't have enough time to read the whole chapters. But I'm going to read Jude 1:20. It says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life." There's build yourselves up in your most holy faith. That's the one you got to really think about here. The way you build yourselves up is by hanging out with other Christians. You know, if you have a choice of hanging out with somebody that talks about the Bible or somebody that just talks about the latest trash they heard on television. You'd probably be better off talking to the one that talks about the Bible, because it helps build you up. You can share your beliefs. You can talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more real stuff becomes. If you're a closet Christian and you never talk about your faith, it's real hard to stay strong, because I kind of think of it like as a sieve. You know, the Holy Spirit comes and fills you up, but there's holes in you. And the Holy Spirit just kind of runs out. And if you don't keep refilling yourself, eventually you're running on empty. And even so, you're still saved, and even so, you're still going to heaven. You're just struggling, having a really hard time going through life. And it goes on, it says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Or it talks right there, you know, be merciful to those who doubt. So if you got a friend that's struggling with some of this stuff and go, man, you know, I don't know if I should believe this, and, you know, I'm having a hard time with them, and don't give them a hard time about it. Help them. You know, talk to them about it. You know, help them in their doubt. There's times that, you know, every one of us has doubt about what we read. And that's when you talk about it, you can talk it through, and when you hear something, well, I heard this over here, you know, I really think that applies, and you talk about it over here. And you can get through that doubt. You can build each other up. But it's real hard to do that by yourself. It's a lot harder. You know, it says snatch others from the fire and save them. In other words, there's a lot of people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior yet. And we need to talk to them, fill them in. You know, I'm sure there's a few in the crowd here that don't know Jesus yet. And just by me coming up here and saying, hey, you need to just take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're good. Well, that's kind of it in a nutshell, but it gets bigger from there. You know, we need to talk about it. We need to understand it. We don't just say a 3-second prayer and then think everything is great from there. And that's where it takes all of us together. We got to work together on that. Now it says, to others show mercy mixed with fear. And I think we're talking about the mixed with fear would be when you talk to people that are way out in left field. I think the fear part is be careful that they're not the ones that are changing you. Make sure you're the one changing them. Because it'd be real easy. I mean, it's so easy to believe stuff. You know, you got to just be really careful. And so what do? Do we go around being scared? I don't think we need to go around being scared. Because here's what the Bible says in Jude 1:24. It says, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Bingo, there it is right there. It says, to him who is able to keep you from falling, to present you before his glorious presence without fault, without great joy, to the only God our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Christ Jesus our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. In other words, we need to lean on God. That's the one who gives us the strength. That's the one who helps us recognize when things are going wrong. You know, we serve a God that's made up of three distinct persons. You know, you got the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're one. It's real hard to understand in the human mind. I don't totally understand it. Maybe God will explain it to me sometime. How can you be three and still be one at the same time? That's tough. But that's what the Bible teaches. So when the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside you, that's God living inside of you, basically. And the Holy Spirit will keep you from falling. You just got to make the effort and apply yourself. Make the effort to study your Bible. And I guarantee you, if you hang out with other Christians and you share and talk to one another, you don't have anything to be scared of. You know, in Romans 1:17, it says, for in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. In other words, it's revealed in the gospel. In other words, we got to read the Bible in order to have it revealed to us. Then it goes on, a righteousness that is by faith from the first to the last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. So we have to live by faith. And if we do, what the Bible tells us to do, that faith will become strong enough to where it'll help us through the struggles and the doubt. In the few times that we do have the doubt, but we can't go through it ourselves, that's when we use the other Christians to help us through the doubt. And we know we will be victorious. We don't have to run around scared. But I don't know why the Holy Spirit always puts this on my heart. I mean, I always feel that ever so often, man, I got to point out to people, don't listen to just anybody. Even the things I say. You know, you hear what I say. You know, I'm reading scripture to you. When you get home tonight, open the Bible. Look at Jude. Read Jude. Read through it and say, okay, what did Hines say? Well, I don't know if I agree with what Hines said there. Now, if you don't agree with it, you can call me and we can discuss it and I can explain my point of view to you. That way you can understand where I was coming from. It could just be a mistake. You know, people make mistakes sometimes. You know, I've seen where people say something and you just catch, you know, like, you know, we're into the sound bite stuff nowadays, you know, use one sentence stuff. And you catch one sentence and you don't get it in context, and it's real easy to miss what the point was, and it'd be real easy if you take something out of context to go, where in the heck did he get that? So the whole point of my message this morning is, please read your Bible, study the Word, hang out with other Christians, discuss the Word, don't be a closet Christian, and don't be scared about it. Just like it said, you know, hey, we live by faith. We have a God that will see us through, that strengthens us, and we will be victorious. And in the end, I guarantee it will all be worth it. That's the whole thing I want you to walk away with from here this morning. And for those of you that don't know Jesus as your Savior yet, you know, you hear that a lot. You know, you got to know Jesus, you know, to be saved. That way you don't go to hell. Yeah, that's true. But also, he helps you in this life. It's not just about what happens when we go home, you know, when we pass away. He also helps us through this life. You know, he helps me go to bed at night, and he helps me through my negative, through my faults and stuff. And I can count on him. So if you don't know him yet, I'm going to be here all day. From what you can tell here, I won't be racing, so I got plenty of time to talk to anybody that wants to talk to me. But if you want to know more about it, or if you want to know more about what we've been teaching just now, man, feel free to come over here. We'll sit down and we'll talk about it. But the best decision you could ever make is to ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, because all of a sudden life has meaning. If you don't have him in your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you really sit down and you think about it, there is no meaning to life. I would really think, I mean, motocross is a lot of fun, you know, and there's a lot of other things that are a lot of fun, but if this was it, I mean, you're going to do this for the next 30 years if your body holds up that long and then it's over, well, that wouldn't be much to look forward to. So I think it's just totally awesome that by knowing Jesus, I have golden streets to look forward to, me and the New Jerusalem. I know it'll be awesome. I don't know if they'll have motocross tracks in heaven. You know, they might. They may not. Heck, I don't know. But I can guarantee you one thing. If they don't, it's going to be so great that we won't miss them anyway. That I can guarantee you. So with that, I'd like to close. Dear Lord God, thank you so much for ministering to us this morning, Lord. Lord, it's so scary sometimes to listen to some of the stuff that's on the news, on the radio, on so-called Christian stations and stuff. Lord, it's hard to sort out the truth from the non-truth. But thank God for you. Thank you, God. Because of your promises and what you have told us in Scripture, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we study your Word, that if we pay attention, that we will not be led astray. We can count on you and the Holy Spirit to keep us straight. We just thank you so much for that, Lord. Father God, I also ask that anyone that feels a tug on their heart today, Lord, like they need to make a change in their life because they don't know you or because they've kind of strayed away and need to rededicate themselves and draw closer to you, Lord. Lord, if they feel that, Lord, I ask that you'd make them act on it. Give them that little push to make them act on it where they don't just ignore it. We never know what will happen. Life is short, life is fragile, and it can be over quick. So when you put it on someone's heart, we need to react. We know you're a gentleman, you won't force us, but you can push us in the direction to make us decide the decision easier. Father, we thank you for everything, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, as we get ready to go race, thanks again for this beautiful day. It's just awesome. Father, I just ask that you keep all of us safe on and off the track, Lord. Let us have a good day. Let us do everything we do for your glory and not for ourselves, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.